Would you turn to Psalm 34? Oh, boy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help. You know, God does this. He does the strangest things at the strangest times, man. All right, Psalm 34. Would you read it with me, please? I will what? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Okay, you can all go home now. I mean, come on, that's it, isn't it? I mean, think about it. You know, if we could just stay drunk all the time, man, we wouldn't give a hoot about this world. We wouldn't try to fix things. We wouldn't care about nothing except for His will. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continue to be in my mouth so I can stay continually drunk. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Wow. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His what? Holy name together. It says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all my what? Fears. Fear is your enemy. That's one of the enemies. They looked to Him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of a couple of his troubles. All of his troubles. If you don't have troubles, I got something to give you. Dear God. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who what? Fear Him, reverence Him, honor Him, and delivers them. So the angel of the Lord encamps around all of those who fear Him. In other words, that's an area of respect. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Blessed is the man who's trust. So one of the things God is trying to get us to is a place where continuous trust is in our life. You know, we are in not only, we are in the end times. And we are in the end times where things have to be quickly adjusted sometimes. There are what we call major and minor adjustments. And without making adjustments, not only do we miss God, but we end up in traps. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit was sharing about this psalm is so vitally important, because it's that area where He's saying there's something that we have to adjust. The first thing He talks about is our mouth. That's the first thing He says. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will continually have praise in my mouth. That's the first adjustment that needs to be established. So no matter what you're going through, a simple hallelujah is an adjustment. Does everybody get this? And then He says in verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. So there's an area where you and I have got to come to a place where we trust Him with everything. See, there's areas that we may trust Him in, but we don't trust Him in everything. So we have a tendency to do it ourselves instead of trusting Him in everything. It says, verse 9, would you read it with me? Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no what? Want to those who fear Him. Why? Because He's providing all you need. It says, young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So one of the things we got to step back and go, am I lacking any good thing? He didn't ask you what you wanted. He's asking if you're lacking any good thing. Well, I want to be with this. I want to be. No, that's not what he's asking you. What he's asking you and telling you is you're not lacking anything. Everything is being provided for you in one way or another. So when we begin to grumble and complain, because we have a tendency to look at the things we don't have instead of the things that we do have. And then we have a tendency to want more when we haven't fulfilled or used up the things he's given us. That was one of the things that he always said to me, "Guy, use what you got and then I'll give you more. And don't ask for more until you use what you have. So in these end time adjustments, again, there are minor and major adjustments that you and I need to make. He says, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." You know, I think one of the areas is that the reverence to God lacks in the body of Christ. There's more entertainment. There's more, I want to say, schedules of things and whatever, and not enough unity and not enough reverence to the Lord. And one of the areas is in worship. The greatest way that you can show God that you honor and respect him is to worship him. And I'm not saying quit while you're worshiping. If you'll worship him with all of your heart, every song that comes up, you've done all you can do to show him that you're grateful. Do you understand that? It's got nothing to do with how you feel. It's got nothing to do with how you think. It's about do. It's about do. Why? Because if you're willing to show him, you're willing to do whatever it takes to honor him and respect him and please him, he's willing to do whatever it takes for you. Remember, what you sow is what you reap. When you quit, he quits. When you stop, he stops. See, so many times we'll be walking with the Lord. Next thing we know, we'll take two steps left and he's still standing, walking straight. We go drifting. That's when we need to make an adjustment. Adjustments must come quickly sometimes. It says, "Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your what? Your tongue from evil." It goes back to the first thing. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. What does it say? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and what? Pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who what? Do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord what? He hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles, out of all of their afflictions. He will deliver us. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. That means being humble. Again, this is not an area where you go to the Lord and say, "Hi, I'm your humble servant." Puke. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Hallelujah. Yes. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them what? Out of them all. Some days are more afflictions than others. Hallelujah. He guards all his bones, and none of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So if you trust in him, will you be condemned? And because you trust in him, you have reverence to him, so you fear him. That's the fear of the Lord. There's a reverence. In other words, you don't want to do anything to displease God. See, this reverence and fear of the Lord is because there's a love affair. Does everybody get it? It's not about a fear of being sent to hell. But if you don't have a love affair, I would definitely want the fear of going to hell. There's two fears. There's a fear of the Lord and there's a fear of hell. But if there's really a love affair, there's an area of reverence, honor, and respect. So that's called the fear of the Lord. And you don't want to mess with evil. You don't want to pet evil. You don't want to associate with anything evil because you don't want to be unclean yourself. So there are areas that God is, remember we talked about he was resetting boundaries. And he's resetting boundaries already in our life. Why? And he's resetting these boundaries because he's coming back for a blemish-free church. And one thing you don't want to do is get caught with one foot over the boundary. Does everybody get this? When he comes, he's coming and it's over. That's it. Wherever the state of being you're in determines whether you come or you're left. So there's got to be an area where we have to be sensitive now to be willing to make quick adjustments. They're called end time adjustments. Amen? So again, we talked about many of the afflictions and troubles and so forth. And there are adjustments that we need to make. And that's one of the adjustments is the trust, to fear. We talked about this before, to hear and to see. That's an adjustment that needs to be made to hear him and to see what he wants you to see. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing that we don't hear. Sometimes we get caught up in our agendas that we don't see. Sometimes we get caught up in frustration. Remember, even Moses got caught up in frustration to where the Lord told him to speak to the rock and he ended up striking the rock and it prevented him from getting into the promised land. Ooh, snap. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, hallelujah, end time adjustments. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Praise God. I mean, I guess I better get out of Ephesians then. Snap. Whew. Verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and send Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you concerning your what? Your faith. Concerning your faith. That no one should be what? Shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Now listen, is this too loud? Thank you, Jesus. In verse 4, is everybody there? Now, this is important. In fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer what? Now grab hold of that. We would suffer what? Tribulations. Now before I go any further, there's a beginning of sorrows, there's tribulation, and there's what? Great tribulation. What did he just say here? He said that we would suffer tribulation, didn't he? Okay. Just as it happened, and you know. So is it very possible that rapture isn't pre-trib? Hello? Lower this. Is it very possible that we're not going before tribulation? Yes, we're not. But if we are, praise God. All right. Verse 5. Can you hear me? For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all of our what? Affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Now, very powerful. We are appointed to these afflictions. In other words, we are appointed to tribulation. But we are not appointed to the wrath of God. Does everybody get it? We're not appointed to the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is great tribulation. You know, one of the things that's going to happen in tribulation, we're going to need to make some end time adjustments for this, aren't we? People are going to be looking for answers during that period of time. It's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal time. It's going to be a phenomenal time for people of salvation. I believe that during tribulation, great revival is going to break out. Yeah. I just believe that there's going to be a pouring out of God's Spirit to his people. Remember, during that period of time, I really believe that the two witnesses are going to be here in Jerusalem testifying, most likely Moses and Elijah. And they're going to be there. And the world's going to hate them because no one can touch them, but they're going to be causing stuff. They're going to be causing problems because of the power and the Word of God. And then the Antichrist is going to rise up and kill them. And they'll be laying there for 3.5 days. And then they will be raptured. And I really believe that 3.5 days that they're laying there is fulfilling our 3.5 years of tribulation. And when they're done, we're done. Has everybody got it? So in this end time adjustments, we're going to need to stand fast in the Lord. Again, you and I should be in that place of we're expecting. We accept some trials and tribulations and afflictions. We accept them. Why? Because you expect them. Why? Those who desire to live godly will be what? Persecuted. Amen? So in other words, we've got to prepare to adjust. One of the things we want to prepare to adjust during the time is we see things because we're sensitive from play to pray. There's going to be a time you're going to be out playing, and next thing you know, you're going to need to pray. So there's got to be a major adjustment for me and you. It must be a quick adjustment. We could be out playing tennis. We could be out doing anything we're doing. We're playing. We could be playing, just fellowshipping and so forth. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, bam, cut the play and pray. Why? Because there's something that we sense. That adjustment must come from play to pray. From what you're seeing to do something about it. From see to do. And another thing is from acknowledgement to warn. Does everybody understand that? Those are areas that you and I are going to have to make quick adjustments on. We cannot brush off things. We can't brush things aside because they'll snare you if you do. You can't brush evil aside. You can't stick evil underneath a couch or a rug and ignore it. Does everybody get it? You can't do that. Why? Because you end up tripping over it. And what you don't warn, whatever is caused, blood is on your hands because you didn't warn. Is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. End time adjustments. Oh, Carolyn's going to have fun editing this one. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the what? Simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, in Christ, there is a common sense. It's called spiritual common sense. It is simple. It's very simple. It isn't complex. It is simple. It's an area that where you sense things that are out of order. You can sense it. You can taste it. Eventually, you'll smell it. And it will show its rotten fruit. It will show things that are not right. And again, these are areas that you're going to have to make quick adjustments. You cannot stuff it under the rug. In verse 4, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus, from whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. In other words, in this arena, it's not the area that you're going to put up with it. It's the area that you're going to expose it. Does everybody understand? See, because in other words, you're not going to have to attack the person or whatever. You're just going to expose it. You're going to let it be spoken. You're going to put up with it. And then you're going to what? Expose it. Does everybody get it? In verse 5, for I consider that I'm not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was burdened to no one, for I lacked the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Acacia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may what? Cut off the opportunity of those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. So Paul was making an adjustment. The first thing he did is he sent a letter. Does everybody get it? He was making an adjustment at the church. The next thing he was doing was to go to cut off these false apostles. How? By exposing them. Because it was interfering. Does everybody get this? You and I are going to have to make quick adjustments. Some of them will be minor and some of them will be major. But one thing we don't want to do, why are we making these adjustments? So we keep both feet in the boundary lines. So that we're walking towards that path, that open entrance that awaits me and you. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. And verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I say again, let no one think me a fool, if otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I may also boast a little. Okay, so Paul was talking about the simplicity that's in Christ. He had some minor and major adjustments and everything. And one of the things he was talking about is, see, that no one deceives you in these things. You know, there's so much going on right now, especially in the area in the body of Christ. You know, it talks about false prophets. It talks about false ministers. It talks about, you know, Satan coming as an angel of light and so forth. And, you know, right now we're seeing a lot of things being exposed by God. There's a lot of soulishness in many fellowships. There's a lot of entertainment. There's a lot of things have gone carnal. Does everybody understand? There's more preaching of schedules and agendas and tithes and the fundraisers to pay this off and pay that off and whatever. And does everybody understand what I'm saying? Than preaching the truth. And one of the things that grieves my spirit is I'm hearing from so many people, when we talk to many people out in places we go, wherever, that one of the things is they say, well, why isn't our church telling us these things? I don't know. But I think it's a responsibility of the fellowship and the leadership to tell the people what's time and what season we're in. I think it's vitally important. And I think it's a responsibility that we have, those to stand behind any kind of pulpit whatsoever, whether behind a pulpit or not, is that when we stand before God, we did what we were supposed to do. So I think right now we are in vital times. And I encourage people, man, if you're in a church that ain't telling you the truth, get out. Now's the time to make the adjustment. Does everybody get it? Now is the time to make the adjustment. It's a major adjustment. Why? Because it's truth that makes you free, isn't it? And one thing to the Lord told us is to be prepared, didn't he? Be ready in season and out. How are you going to be ready if you don't know? Look at how many people have never gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit because they never even knew about it. Look at how many people didn't realize that demons were the cause of addiction. Think about all of these things. Demons are the problems behind everything. Demonic influence. Deceiving people. Doctrines of demons, right? Deceiving and seducing spirits. So in this, we've got to be sensitive enough with the spiritual senses that God has given us to make quick, minor, and major adjustments. Some things will be permanent, some things will be temporary. Does everybody get that? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 1. Let's read it together. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. And such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's where so many times people compromise that little leaven. They compromise that little thing. It's the little things that can cause a lot of problems. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and what? Truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with what? Sexual immoral people. Don't keep company with them. But they're my friends. No, they're not. Any friend is an enemy. You either have brothers or sisters, one or the other. Anything that's friend will be your enemy. Does everybody get that? We all have friends out there. But you must make that adjustment to realize that that friend of yours is actually your enemy. Why? Because the demons will use that friend against you at some time. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexual immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or reviler or drunkard or extortioner, not even eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Again, don't assault. Why? Because bad company corrupts what? Good habits. Does everybody get this? You know, so many times a person that's backslidden and out and whatever, doing whatever, when you begin to associate with them, one of the things that they're going to be, because see, the devil begins to mess with their mind. And the first thing they think is, even though they know it's not okay, but they think it's okay. Does everybody get this? Well, it's okay. They haven't said anything. See, saying something to a person that's out of order is good. But once you say something to the person that's out of order and continue to fellowship with the person that's out of order, what you just said has been nullified. That's why you are to depart from the person that is out of order. Does everybody get this? So many people, but that's my brother, my sister, my children. It doesn't matter. What you're doing is promoting the way they're living then. Does everybody get that? That doesn't mean you say hello, don't say hello. Does everybody, that mean you don't say hello? You don't, but you don't function with them. Why? Because they won't change. Because they think you're the righteous one and that you're approving it. And this is where you and I are going to have to make quick adjustments. Does everybody get this? Hallelujah. Major adjustments. Avoid sexual perversion and stop hunting your mate. Stop asking God if this is the one. He will tell you when you've completed your task of assignment, because God doesn't interrupt himself. Amen. So if you're here hunting, I pray you're exposed. Cut the garbage. We're to maintain stability, accountability, and credibility will be accounted to you. Amen? I'm going to say that again. When you maintain stability and accountability, credibility will be added to you. So these adjustments, once come, let me tell you something first of all. When you know something is out of order, okay, when you know something is out of order and not right, It's like somebody gives you a joint. You know it's out of order, not right. Amen? Are you going to hold on to it and think about it? Think about this. Somebody gives you a letter and says, oh, I love you and I want to talk to you and I want to marry you forever. And you know it ain't God's time. That whole thing right there is an accursed item. Are you going to hold on to it, think about it? What are you going to do? You need to make a quick adjustment and rebuke that person. You need to stand up and rebuke that person because that person is out of order. Does everybody understand this? Why? Because that person is hunting and that person is out of order. Obviously, that person can't wait on God. Still wants to do his or her own will. And there's no stability or accountability or fear of God. And it cannot be trusted. Why? Because God doesn't interrupt himself. When an individual is used to interrupt God, a curse will come. He's used every one of us, hasn't he? That's why we always repent for the things that we've done. Especially those areas. Hallelujah. If there's not an adjustment made, there'll be a mistrust added to you. It'll be added to your account. Because there are accounts that God keeps track of, isn't there? Is everybody okay? Galatians chapter 5. In verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us, what? Free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Without making quick adjustments, you fall into bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law or by yourself. You who have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. What does he say here? Look at this. You ran well. What happened? Who hindered you? Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Why did that person get hindered from obeying the truth? Because he didn't make the adjustment beforehand, and he got snagged. Does everybody get this? Why? Because he was told about the freedom of Christ. You didn't have to get circumcised and come back under the law. That person went back under religion to fulfill the law when he couldn't fulfill it himself anyways. Does everybody get this? And he said, well, you ran well, man. You were obeying the truth. But you decided to go back under the law. You did not make the adjustment to say no and stay free in Christ. Even though you're a Jew and you accepted Christ, or you were a Gentile and accepted Christ and decided to get circumcised, but it was mostly the Jew. And he said, man, what hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the what? The whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the what? For the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Hallelujah. No adjustment. See, without quick adjustments or adjustments in our life, it's difficult to follow all the way through. Success and victory is learning to make adjustments before the damage is done. Amen. Make the adjustment before the damage is done. Remember, God doesn't interrupt himself. No adjustment, no follow the truth. No success, no victory. Stay in the cycle of deception. 2 Corinthians 4. And verse 7. Let's speak it together, please. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence and the power may be of God and not of us. Hallelujah. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us.
Huh.
It's working for you. Even though we want to run from it, and we have a tendency to want to blame everyone else for our affliction. Amen. But it says it's only for a moment, and it's working for us a more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things which are what? Seen. But at the things which are what? Ah. So there's got to be a quick adjustment sometimes of the things that are going around you to where you must see through the seen into the unseen. Does everybody get that? That's called discerning of spirits. What is motivating the circumstance? What's motivating it? For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. You know, you may come across somebody who's got a great gab, but you got to see through it. And you may come across someone that's messed up, and you got to see through it. Amen? Because God judges by the heart. And if God judges by the heart, you're able to also. Amen. So there's got to be a place where you and I are willing to maintain the self denial, maintain a self-denying state of being. We are denying ourselves all the time. Why? Because you can't see through the scene without denying yourself. Does everybody get it? Because if you can't deny yourself, you're bound only to the scene. If you can deny, come to that place where you deny yourself, you're able to see through the scene into the unseen. And how do we adjust? Well, we adjust, and so, there's times, listen, there's a time when you're going to have to adjust Christ first, Christ first, Christ first, Christ first. What does God want out of this? Lord, what do you want out of this? Christ first, then others, and then yourself. Look at what the woman with the issue of blood, how did she respond to everything? Go there for a second, Mark 3. In verse 7 it says, but Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and Jerusalem, Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those of Tyre and Sidon, and great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed many, so that as many as had what? Afflictions pressed about him to what? Touch him. Touch him. There's a time when you're going to have to adjust and really reach out to God. Just really reach out to what? Touch him. How do you touch him sometimes? Worship. You touch his heart, don't you? When you touch his heart, he touches you. Amen? In verse 11, and then the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. I can tell you that they're not going to fall down and cry out and say something to you. Hello. Hey, you guy. No. But they're going to see the Jesus. Amen. They're going to see the anointing, the presence of God in our lives. They're going to see that you and I are backed by heaven. They're going to see that. And they're going to fear you. Do you understand that? So they must attack you. They must try to get you off guard. They must try to tempt you. They must try to mislead you. They must try to convince you that it's everything else but them. Why? Because their purpose is to be unseen. They don't want you to see in their realm. And if you're not willing to see in their realm, you're going to be deceived. And you won't make the adjustments. And look at, somebody else can't make your adjustment. Amen? Especially if you're out at work or something. I mean, you can run to the phone and ask them to pray with somebody or whatever. But you've got to make your adjustments. Is everybody all right? Jesus healed them. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Okay. Hallelujah. And we'll start at verse 1. Oh, glory. Again, some adjustments are permanent, some adjustments are temporary. Some adjustments are minor, some adjustments are major. Every adjustment is life-changing. I'm going to say that again. Every adjustment is life-changing. In verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season to do what? To adjust. And he says here, to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. That means there's got to be an adjustment. What's he adjusting to? Well, he's going to adjust or rebuke someone. He's got to adjust to what? Exhort someone. He's got to adjust for long-suffering. And he's got to adjust for what? Teaching. He must be ready in season and out to do whatever it takes. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why won't they endure sound doctrine? Because they refuse to make adjustments. But according to their own desires, they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And that's what begins to happen without adjustments. Everyone that has gone backslidden has heard who did not, because they didn't make the adjustment, they began to listen to the voice of the stranger and fables and lies and all kinds of other things. And the next thing, they found themselves in a place where they didn't like it. Some people don't know how to get out of it yet. Many will not adjust and turn. One of the things is because they're turning to themselves and emotional feelings and all of these things. Once you start listening to the voice of the stranger, it promotes unhealthy desires and fables and distractions and pride. And again, we must be watchful to adjust. Does everybody understand that? He says in verse 5, but you be what? Watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your call. Fulfill your mission. The only way to do that is to be able to make adjustments. And if you're afraid, because fear is one of the things that prevents individuals from making adjustments. Sometimes people fear and they don't even know what they're afraid of. They're just afraid to make the change. They're afraid to make that adjustment. Again, Paul had to make many adjustments. In Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. In these last days, in this last time, we're going to need to make a lot of adjustments. One of the adjustments I really believe needs to be understood is there's no future here. Does everybody get it? There's no future here. That's an adjustment that needs to be made in the mindset. There is no future here. Our future is not here. Amen? So stop trying to build your house and let the Lord build it. Some people have a hard time with that. I think because we're born in time and all kinds of other things and everything that surrounded us our whole life and everything was just tangible and everything was, even though things were a mess, things seemed to be sometimes more understandable, but then sometimes things that seemed way out there. But it's a hard thing to grasp that things are coming to a close. There is no future here. Our future is in Christ. That's it. And you don't need to pack. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Almonds. Hallelujah. Where's your future? In Christ. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will what? Add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. I like them binding them around a few necks. Here, let mercy and truth. Let me help you with mercy and truth. Snap. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. That was the first thing we talked about tonight. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So there's an area where it has to be a quick adjustment. No matter what you're doing, acknowledge Him. Does everybody get it? No matter what you're doing. You know, sometimes we get caught up in certain things. And the next thing we know, we're trying to fix something. And it's like, man, it's getting frustrated. And then you just realize, whoa, I forgot to acknowledge Him. Sorry. Holy Spirit, can you really come and help me and show me what? And then things will change. Does everybody get that? Acknowledge Him in all of your ways and He'll help you. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and what? Depart from evil. Why? Because it'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Praise God. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 13. Very, 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 very powerful. Is everybody there? Whoever, come on, read it with me, rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. Whoa. Whoever rewards evil, in other words, what you approve of that's evil, evil won't depart from your house. That's where those emotional feelings get involved, doesn't it? That's where the enemy messes with people. But I'm telling you, if you reward evil for good, evil will reign in your house. Amen? Hebrews chapter 3. So we need to stop rewarding what? Evil. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. I mean Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. You don't need to call a cab. Like I said. Anyways. Verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will what? Hear His voice and not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, said they will always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they would not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if what? If we hold on to the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Hold on to what? The end. See, it's not always how you begin, is it? For who having heard rebelled, indeed was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom has he was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not what? Obey. They didn't adjust to obedience. They didn't adjust to submission. Submit to God and what? Resist the devil. So we see that they could not enter because of what? Unbelief. There's got to be an area. I want to call it an adjustment to exchange. In other words, you're going to exchange your unbelief for belief. You make that exchange with God. Lord, I give you my unbelief and I'm asking for your belief. I'm going to give you my weaknesses for your strength. I'm going to give you my thoughts for your thoughts. There's an adjustment that has to be made sometimes. And that's in an adjustment prayer in that booklet, which is powerful. I mean, the exchange prayer in the booklet. It's powerful to make those exchanges. That's an adjustment that you're making right away. Especially when the enemy attacks you. You know, when the voices from hell come from all over. That's the attack of the voices. And you're hearing all kinds of stuff. You don't know which one's God. You don't know what to do. And man, you pull out that prayer. What does it do? It pulls the sword out and starts cutting all their heads off so they all shut up. It's called an adjustment by exchange, unbelief for belief. We need to come out. We need to exchange our passiveness for activeness. Believers should not be passive. We should be active. We need to exchange our rebellion for submission. These are changes. One of the adjustments we need to do is keep the area of keeping things in practice. Don't quit. Keep practice makes what? Perfect. Go to 1 John chapter 3. And verse 7 says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who what? Practices righteousness is what? Righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. I mean, I think that's pretty simple, isn't it? We all should know what sinning is, and we all should know what righteousness is. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this is the purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So one of the things we want to do is begin to adjust by practicing righteousness. Practicing righteousness is destroying the works of the devil. Does everybody get it? You and I should desire to destroy the works of the devil. It should be a part of our life. We practice what we're taught. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2. End time adjustments. All right. Is everybody there? Verse 21, therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself for the latter, he'll be a vessel for honor. See, one of the adjustments that really needs to happen quickly sometimes is the area where the enemy starts reminding you of your past. He always comes up to you and says, do you remember? And if he can't get you that way, he can get somebody else to come up to you and say, do you remember? So in that, we've got to adjust quickly by what? Severing it, saying no to it. That's one of the quickest things of adjustment, is just saying no till you can battle it. Therefore, anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Stay away from arguments. When you sense that, you already know it's getting ready to escalate to it. I mean, you can get in the flesh and punch the person in their mouth and shut it up, but that's sowing in the flesh, isn't it? And you'll reap corruption. And you didn't do anything but add more, didn't you? Not that you didn't feel like doing it, but we don't go by how we feel, do we? That's when you need that mercy and that truth rope. I mean, so we don't want to quarrel. We want to stay out of the ring. So when you sense that getting ready to happen, stop. Don't go in there. Depart. Shut up. Turn your head. Walk away. Do something. Make a quick adjustment. Don't try to prove yourself right. Does everybody get that? Stop proving yourself right. Because you're wrong by trying to prove yourself right. you don't know. Shut up. You're wrong anyways. A servant of the Lord should not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to what? Teach and be patient. That means endurance. And humility, correcting those who are in opposition. How can you correct someone when you're out of order? If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses. So many people are sitting on their senses. It's like they slipped through their hand and fell on their seat. Spiritual common sense. Does everybody get it? Spiritual common sense. That's all this is. Make an adjustment. Being sensitive of what the Spirit is saying. And sometimes he doesn't have to say anything. You just know what to do already. The thing is doing it. That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to do his will. And I'm going to close at Matthew 24. So one of the things we want to do is stop sitting on our spiritual senses. Activate them. Don't use them as a cushion. Adjust by activating not only your senses, but also activating the gifts of the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Just start praying in the Spirit when things are going wonky. Just start praying in the Spirit. Somebody got it. People look at you weird. Don't matter. You never know. Somebody might be around you that knows what you're talking about. Hey, man, I got that interpretation. Bachalabiam rohosia. You know, you don't know. There might be another person right there. In fact, you might even be speaking in their language because your language can change. You'd be speaking Russian to someone else. Hallelujah. You never know what may happen. I heard a testimony about a guy on a plane. And the Lord told him to pray in the tongues, speak in the spirit. He's like, here? He said, yeah, pray in the spirit. And he started praying in the spirit, and the Lord said, louder. He said, the guy next to you can't hear you. As he began to speak louder, his language changed. And the guy next to him, I forgot where he was from, some country. And he said to him, man, I didn't know those things. And spirit started ministering to him about all kinds of stuff with this guy's life and whatever. And this guy ended up coming to the Lord. See, you just, that's called diverse tongues, activating the gifts of the Spirit. You don't know what God's going to do, but you got to be sensitive enough to hear what he's saying. Amen. Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, and you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation by no means pass away till these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But as the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also is the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. This is very powerful. Because one of the things he's saying is, well, you and I, we need to adjust to the prophetic timeline and what we're in. Or else you don't know what's going on. So we're adjusting right now. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling us about adjusting because of the prophetic time that we're in right now. The prophetic timeline that's happening. The events that are going on. That's why it's called end time adjustments. We are adjusting in preparation for all of these things. Amen? Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Again, there'll be a time during these tribulation time where there'll be those who have food. And you know what? We'll be giving them food in their due season. That's why he's saying, adjust and prepare. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so what? Doing. In other words, he's talking about tribulation. He's talking about the era where you and I need to adjust and be prepared. Why? Because we're going to be helping those who are in need. And he wants us to be active in helping and rescuing. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him. And an hour that he is not aware of. And he will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So it's essential that we become sensitive and use our spiritual senses to make adjustments. Temporary, permanent, minor, major. Amen? Be sensitive. Why? Because when he comes, he wants to find us doing and not doing. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be established and grant us, Lord, grant us the sensitivity, the discernment, and the senses to know when to adjust, when to exchange, that we may be prepared for what's coming. We thank you, Master. Now bless your people, Father, and bring fulfillment of your word to each and every one, that by your stripes not only have we been healed, but you've rescued us from a life of destruction. You've crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, and you've put good music in our mouth that we may praise you during all of our afflictions in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.